This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Tuesday, March the 5th. 2024. This is not your common Tuesday. No, today is franchise tag deadline Tuesday, NFL. And this is why the NFL is so good, because we're nowhere near the NFL season. We're weeks away from having seen our last game. We haven't seen the locals in months yet. All anyone wants to talk about is the NFL. I say good morning on CMT Tuesday to my partner in crime, the great Rick DiPietro. Hi, Rick.
Hi, David. And this is why the NFL is king, my friend.
Yeah.
This is why the NFL is king, because all we want to do is talk about football.
That's right.
Combine, you name it. Guys throwing football as fast as they can. Just
right, against mats.
Against mats.
8 feet away.
We love it.
Yeah, we do.
We might get 18 games soon.
Sounds like they're going to push for that. We've known that.
Yeah, you're right.
You knew at some point, sooner rather than later, you were going to wind up.
Kayvon Thibodeau was not happy.
18. Oh,
you
I
want
understand.
18 games. He wants a split of the gambling. Come on,
split of the gambling.
He wants some of the gambling money.
But so he wouldn't want like a prorated 18th game to get paid a little.
Well, he
more.
Wants he wants that, but he also wants a partnership with the gambling.
Well,
you
why
see
he,
some of his tweets?
Well, why would he? No, I did not. Why would he?
Well,
get,
he says more football, more games, more money.
Sure.
So more gambling money. So why not do a partnership?
But why would they do that?
They wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, it sounds
great.
It's an
exercise of futility is what that is.
I mean, you play for me. You're employed by me. I'm going to pay you handsomely. I'm not going to give you a piece of something that's making me money hand over fist.
No. They give you stuff that doesn't cost them money. We'll give you an extra buy. How do you like that? We'll take it.
You know what we're leading to. We're leading to Super Bowl on President's Day weekend, and then that Monday, federal holiday. People can be home. Not us, of course.
No, of course, not us. But we'll be on, because that's what we do.
Which is fine, because we're workhorses.
Workhorses.
Yes.
I mean, we have no choice. Got to do what we got to do.
But come on, you would want to do that show anyway, the day after the Super Bowl?
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plus, I like spending time with you, so what are we doing?
It is very nice. Raymond, RJ, we're all here today.
Of course we're all here today. Listen, this is going to be a fiery show. I can already feel it.
Why?
Just some of the conversation going on before the show.
Not for me.
No, not for you. About your Giants? I mean, there are some conflicting opinions on that side.
I told you that J.J. McCarthy is going to be that guy, that either you love him and you want him or you don't want any part of him. I mean, Mike Tannenbaum loves him. A lot of other people, inclusive of R.J. Scintillo, not overly impressed. Michael Kay as well. I heard him yesterday saying maybe he's wrong. He thinks J.J. McCarthy will be nothing in the NFL.
There is one take that's probably the hottest of the takes.
Really?
And it's not Raymond Santiago. Someone you know. Someone we like.
Someone we like.
Quite a bit. Very hot, spicy take.
Hot, spicy take. Anti-J.J. McCarthy?
I'm not going to tell you.
You're not going to tell me?
I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to make you wait.
Mm-hmm. Does he call big-time football?
Does call big-time football, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
But lots to get into today. Good. Good news on Jalen Brunson, too. Knock on wood.
Thank God.
Whew.
Thank God. Tough Rangers game last night. Played well. Bad third goal from Shesterkin. Ooh.
Well, I mean, Lavi was not happy. Missed call coming through the neutral zone.
Brzezinski, right?
Then,
yeah.
What he says is it kind of glanced off Trouba's foot, but
that was a bad goal.
It's not a goal you want to let in. No.
2-2 against one of the better teams in all of hockey. You got to figure out a way to make that save.
No, but I think you also get an opportunity to see what it has to look like in the postseason, because that's the kind of game that the Panthers play. Right?
But the Rangers were right there with them.
No, they were right there. And they, I mean, it's, again, but it's a good litmus test for where you have to get to, especially knowing now that that's the last game they'll play till the trade deadline. So, I mean, you get a chance to see what it should look like,
right,
and what we need and how, you know, the areas of the ice that you're going to need to get to score goals in the postseason. That's why, you know, the whole Panarin thing is interesting, because, you know, the spots that you're going to need to get to in the postseason, is he going to be willing to go to those spots in the ice? And you also have to find a way to get more opportunities 5-on-5.
And Mika, I don't know what's happened to Mika in a 5-on-5 situation. I mean, he's a great player. He's a great two-way player. He's had a really down season.
He's having a hard time, generating much. But, I mean, they're going to address that, I think. They should. before we see them again.
Yes, and that's you see them again Saturday, trade deadline Friday, March the 8th. 1 week from today, my birthday.
Oh, we know. Yeah, we know.
I don't know.
Well aware. Very excited
for it. If this be like a special show brunch or what you guys exactly.
No, I don't think we need a special show brunch or anything.
What do you mean?
Just do a happy birthday.
What do you mean? We went for a beautiful show brunch for Raymond. For
Raymond
his birthday.
Was 40.
Right.
This is not
51.
This is not a big
You don't know how many more I have left.
And you have plenty.
You don't know that?
But this is not a big
How
birthday.
Badly would you feel?
If you died?
If you do nothing. You're like, oh, you know, we'll save it for 55 or 60 or whatever. 51 comes, goes, I don't see 52. Then you'd feel badly.
Well, yeah, then we would, I mean, we could cross that bridge when we get to it.
Well, not really, not on dead.
Well, you'd be dead, but I would eulogize you.
That'd be
nice. I would
say
nice things. Your honor.
Yeah, and then I'd take care of the family.
Right, but if I said we should do something for 51 and you guys don't do anything for 51, 51 comes and goes, and then we do nothing, and then there is no 52, I think you'd all feel very badly about that.
Why couldn't we just celebrate you for the 4 hours and 7 minutes that we're together? You know, when you show up 7 minutes before the show and then for the 4 hours
right.
of the show, we could just celebrate that it's your birthday.
Yeah, that's funny, huh?
No, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just that we're 10 or 12, whatever it is.
I mean, we didn't celebrate Ray for 4 hours. We celebrated Ray for 4 hours, and then we celebrated him for an additional, you know, personal brunch.
Yeah, but why are we pretending like 51 is as important as 40? And Raymond didn't think he'd make it to 40.
Well, Raymond may not make the 41 if he keeps playing the music randomly.
Yeah, but we're not going to celebrate Raymond's 41st the way we celebrated his 40th.
I like to celebrate everything.
Well, I get it.
How about
55 we celebrate? Big party 55.
Who knows?
Huge party.
You know 60. What I'd like? I don't want 50. I want 56. I want my Lawrence Taylor birthday to be a big blowout birthday.
Big blowout 56.
I want everybody to show up in Lawrence Taylor jerseys.
No.
I want Lawrence Taylor to show up in a Lawrence Taylor jersey, and I want to blow out candles.
No, we're not doing it.
Why?
Because I'm not wearing a Lawrence Taylor jersey.
Why?
More likely to get Lawrence Taylor to show up in a Dave Rothenberg jersey.
How good would that be?
That's Lawrence Taylor! That's Lawrence Taylor! I wonder if we could get Lawrence Taylor to your party. It would probably cost us some money, but I think we probably could get it done.
I don't know about that.
You think he would just show up?
I think so.
No.
You think
the Giants are going to show up to your funeral, which is not going to happen.
Absolutely.
There's no chance.
I've been in touch with the Giants.
We don't even get invited to training camp.
No, that's not true. We have access to training camp because we have access to the Jets or the Giants in the past, and you always choose Jets.
No, the Jets demand that I come to training camp. Demand it.
This summer...
Giants do not demand that you...
If we're offered one, we go Giants then.
I got another beautiful piece of Jets swag on Sunday.
Great. I'm sure you did.
Gorgeous.
Why do they keep sending you all this stuff?
Because they like when I wear it. Beautiful. It's that black, you know that black hoodie that Salah wears on the sideline?
Yeah.
Oh, gorgeous.
Great.
It's fine. I got a lot of Jets stuff.
Of course you
a
do.
A lot.
And you blocked me from getting any
Jets
stuff.
A lot of New Era stuff too. A lot of New Era.
Yeah.
Big time New Era thing today.
Oh, yeah. Big time New Era thing. Yeah.
Well, I don't even know what it is, really. They just filmed me do so. I don't know what it is.
They're going to film you just gallivanting around the studio.
I don't think it's going to be gallivanting, but I think it's going to be...
Skip around the studio. Look at me. I'm wearing New Era.
Yeah, let's draw attention to the beautiful studio. That's what we want to do.
Yeah.
Just like last time. We did our B-roll, and John was flipping around posters.
They're shooting more video of us today.
Yeah. We'll see how that
great.
Turns out.
Tell us at like 5:30 last night.
I shaved.
Yeah, I didn't.
Well, you didn't. Mm-mm. By the way, little nugget for everybody listening. Dave gets a touch-up haircut once a week?
One like beard taken care of, haircut once a week, yes.
I think that's celebrity stuff.
And then at the end, if there's time, he will take out the massager and rub down my shoulders.
Finish you off?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Well, I don't know, finish me off, but like a nice finishing in the shoulder blade
massage.
Sounds
like a beautiful place. Hot towel?
It doesn't usually go hot towel.
No, really?
Mm-mm.
Even when he shaves, you know, hot towel on the face?
There was a place in Little Neck, right on Northern Boulevard. We used to live over there. And I went, and I have very sensitive skin. That's why I actually have the beard, just to avoid shaving.
Right.
I'm not a fan of that. So I go in, I'd like a full shave, right? Sure. I said, I have very sensitive skin, be careful. I would leave, I'd be bleeding.
That happened to me.
I was like, guys, I told you. No, it's fine. I said, I have blood pouring out of my face. No. It's good for the skin. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I went to that shave place in the mall. And it felt like I was like they peeled an orange. My face was for a week. I couldn't touch my face.
It hurts.
They took off so many layers of skin. I couldn't touch it.
It's unbelievable.
Bright red.
Right. Then they do a layer. Then like let's do another layer. Oh. And another layer. And another layer. It's like an onion. I got nothing.
I had nothing left.
Yeah.
And that was it.
So did you hear what Rich Eisen said on his show yesterday?
I did. I think I'm the one that sent it. But yeah. I don't know about it. Let's play it.
All right. So this is Rich Eisen from his show saying he's got some moles or some people in at the combine, and this is what he's hearing about Daniel Jones and the Giants.
Number 3 of my top 5 rumors I heard at the combine is the Giants are absolutely done with Daniel Jones.
Wow.
Done.
Wow. Absolutely done.
Done. Might have to play him this year.
Whoa.
But that ain't it. And they feel that ain't it. The words I heard at the combine multiple times, two words were buyer's remorse.
All right. Well, I think what happened was they were forced into that because he had that great playoff game. And they won a playoff game, which nobody expected to happen. And they kind of were painted into a corner. You couldn't move on from him. You could not. There's no way you could win a playoff game, be one of eight teams left standing, and say we're done with this guy.
I also think with probably pressure from ownership. I think that was part of when Shannon Dable got hired. Hey, we spent the sixth overall pick on this kid. We really like him. We've done him. You've heard the owner. I mean, you heard John Morris say, we've done him no favors. Can you fix him? So they come in, limits the turnover, stays healthy for the entire season, and you win a road playoff game. How do you move off that? Like, I mean, the owner clearly likes him. How do you move off that?
Well, I don't think you could have.
No, so you pay him. You structure the deal the way that they did. Here's what I don't understand, though, is, and you trust, you say it all the time, you trust Joe Shane and Brian Dable, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, one of the reasons why I think you trust them is when the whole Gettleman thing happened and you despise Dave Gettleman, even though you look like his twin, was how open they were about pretty much everything. We have the second overall pick. We're taking Saquon Barkley. We're not answering the phone. Well, what do you mean you're not answering the phone? We're not answering the phone. Yeah, okay, you're going to answer the phone. No, he didn't answer the phone.
No, people called wanting to trade, you know, heaven and earth for that pick, and they wouldn't do it.
No, he was touched by the hand of God.
Right.
We're taking Saquon Barkley. What you liked about Joe Shane and Brian Dable was last year's draft, or two years ago. Was it 2 years ago?
Which draft?
2 years ago.
Right.
Was they had this whole smokescreen up.
The Kayvon Thibodeau draft.
So why all of a sudden now? When you know there's a chance that quarterback's going 1, 2, and 3, and now you got Mike Tannenbaum talking about J.J. McCarthy might not even be there at 6, why would you make it known to everybody that you're done with Daniel Jones?
So you think this is a big, giant smokescreen?
That doesn't make sense.
Well, so what sense does it make to throw this out so that you can get the best receiver there? I don't understand that.
I guess, but I don't know. Like, this just doesn't seem like something that Joe Shane and Brian Dable, from what we've seen so far,
I agree with that, and I think it's a really fair point, but what would be the rationale behind it? So teams think that you're desperate to move up to 3, but you don't want to move up to 3? Like, what's the point of that?
No, I don't know what the point is. I mean, I guess the point would be to create the illusion that you want to take a quarterback so a team will jump up ahead of you. Team trades up to 5 to get the quarterback, or team don't, and all of a sudden now you have...
You have the pick of even more of the litter of the receivers?
Right. You get the receiver. I mean, say Harrison, say, you know, Arizona says, no, we're not going anywhere. We want to take Harrison with 4.
Right.
Then you get, you know, neighbors at 6 if you want them, or whoever it is. Like, I don't know. It seems uncharacteristic for how we've seen Joe Shane do his business at the draft to think he would be that flippant about, hey, we're done. Buyer's remorse, we're done with Daniel
Jones. Right.
You
bring up a good point. Why would you make it so, you know, obviously public? But I have spoken to some people who are close to the situation. They've said they think the Giants are really in the market for a quarterback.
Well, I think because of all the things that we've talked to, I mean, number one on that list being, I mean, I don't know. I can't say for a fact, but I would be surprised if Brian Dable and Joe Shane weren't shocked with the amount of heat that was on them last season after winning a road playoff game.
Well, would you not agree that you need to address the quarterback position?
Well, no, but that's my point. Like, I think there's a lot of people that just feel like, I mean, they're just, okay, me as an athlete feels like if I have, you know, if I win a Vezina and we win 2 rounds in the playoffs, a previous year, and then maybe I struggle the following year, that I've built some equity up where it's like, okay, we don't want to trade Rick now because he had a bad season. Like, no one expected the Giants to do what they did first year Brian Dable. So, like, naturally, as a human being, you think, like, you know, my quarterback gets hurt. I'm on my third-string quarterback. Like, there would be some equity built up where it's like, hey, I've earned the right to have a bad season. But no. It was like, we don't know if Brian Dable's a good coach. Is this a Joe Judge situation? Like, the amount of heat that they were under, like, you say it all the time. I can't imagine if I'm Joe Shane and Brian Dable losing, you know, one of the most coveted jobs in – you know, two of the most coveted jobs in professional sports, and not have the ability to draft my own quarterback. Like, there would be a strong push for me now to be like, how do I trust the guy that's always hurt?
You can't. He's always hurt, A, and B, how many times have you watched Daniel Jones and you thought to yourself, boy, he's a special quarterback? When they went 9-7-1 and he had that game against Minnesota. Like, in that game, he was a special quarterback. But along that season, he didn't have a great year. Like, everything kind of lined up with the stars, but it's not like you watched him and he threw for 4,400 yards and was great. I mean, no fault of his own. They didn't have any weapons for him to succeed.
And they haven't really.
No, they have not. So they've kind of hamstrung him. But again, he's been hurt. I mean, now it's a major knee injury.
I get more concerned about the neck stuff.
It was the neck issue. He had a hamstring issue. He's missed a ton of time. He's been beaten to a pulp. I mean, it's 5 years. And I heard this on the K show, and this actually annoyed me. And I've gone back and forth with them. I don't know if they know about it, but I've heard their take, and I think it's so wrong. Well, if Shane and Dable are such geniuses, then why didn't they pick up the 50-year option? Why would you pick up a 50-year option of a guy you have no idea what he's going to be?
No, and it's on your guy, right? I mean, you give him a year to prove himself, and if he plays well, then you pay him, and that's what they did. I don't know if they went into it expecting that he would play as well or stay healthy, because you hadn't seen it in the previous couple of years. But he did, and I mean, I think Brian Daboll enjoys coaching him because he's got the kind of personality that I think Brian Daboll can work with. But, I mean, even last year when you saw him outside the second half of that Arizona game, the offense wasn't as good with Daniel Jones as it was with Tyrod Taylor.
He was bad last year. Flat out, that's it. He was bad last year.
And I think part of the reason, too, that you would worry if I'm Brian Daboll is what makes him, what makes him good and what made him good during that run into the postseason.
Is his athleticism.
Right, his ability to run the football.
Right.
But that also, sets you up to be hurt.
Of course it does.
Rather, can you take your game to another level where I don't have to always run the football with
him? I'm sure that they're willing to say, he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Joe Burrow. If he gets hurt, right, if we use him to that extent and he gets hurt, we wear out his use, then that's what happens.
Yeah, but see, and then when you heard Brian Daboll talk about Josh Allen and we kind of look at, body type, athleticism, kind of similar. Like, I don't know if it's disrespectful to Josh Allen, but Dan Jones is kind of like a Josh Allen light.
Very light.
But when you heard Brian Daboll, it's not just Josh Allen's freakish, athleticism and size and his ability around the football, whatever it is. It's the dude can make every throw on the field. Like, it's what he can kill you with his arm, and then on third down, all of a sudden, what he can do with his legs.
And never misses games.
And doesn't miss games.
Ever.
So, I mean, that's not really who Daniel Jones has been. And when you had, you added Waller and Hyatt and these weapons you thought he could take advantage of, he wasn't really taking advantage of them.
Did nothing. From superchargers, exhaust kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. 1-800-919-3776. So it seems like they're not going to use the franchise tag on Saquon, right? That's 4 o'clock today. So we'll monitor that as the morning goes on. 1-800-919-3776. And the name you hear thrown about with the Giants a lot now, J.J. McCarthy. So we'll take your calls. We'll hear some sound. We'll do it all. 98.7 ESPN.
Spring training isn't just for baseball players. It's time for you to get into shape and ready for the warmer weather. For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to make sure you keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat and not just losing water. And you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations close by are available from home with live online consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET. That's 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get ready for spring with njdiet.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I have two pieces of sound pertaining to the Giants. One of them about a quarterback that somebody thinks they should bring in. Another about a quarterback someone thinks they should not bring in. What do you want to hear?
Let's go should bring in.
Should bring in. Dan Graziano. You like Dan Graziano, right?
I do.
Didn't you once host a show with Dan Graziano?
My first ever show driving, yeah. Me and Graz.
How'd it go?
It didn't go well.
No?
No. No, did not go well.
Why?
Well, I came in like 2 hours early to prepare. I had all my stuff laid out. Yeah, I was sitting in the big seat.
And way too early to show up.
Way too early.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't know, 15 minutes before the show started, supposed to be Jets, Giants, the
right.
whole New Jersey high school hazing story.
Josh. Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you guys had to spend a lot of time
on
that.
We opened with that, yeah.
Were you in the same studio or was he up in Bristol?
No, he came.
Oh, he was?
He was in studio, yeah.
Oh, that makes it a little easier.
It was better, yeah, but still, it was tough.
Tough story.
Tough first show.
How do you think you did? If you had to grade your effort.
And then I was actually, I don't know if you knew this or not, I was hosting a national show on Sundays.
Was it like with athletes?
Yeah, it was with athletes, but they weren't, no one was here. So it was, everyone was on.
And you were driving
it? I was here by
it?
Myself, and I was driving it.
Uh-huh.
Which was a completely different experience. But I didn't realize, like, the anxiety, plus all the stuff that you have to do. Like, I'm through 3 hours, hadn't eaten. Like, it's just, it's not for me.
No. You're comfortable in this.
I am comfortable riding shotgun.
In this role. We love you in this role. Anyhow, here's Dan Graziano on Greeny yesterday telling us that, well, you listen.
Daniel Jones is hurt. He's going to have a rehab offseason. If you trade for Justin Fields and you're the Giants, he's going to take all of your offseason reps and maybe play for you in the preseason while Daniel Jones gets healthy. Who knows if Daniel Jones can be healthy enough to start the season? You may have an option there that you like. They play in an offense that leans a little bit on a mobile quarterback already, so some of the aspects of his game might translate. And if he were to hypothetically, you know, perform well in the preseason and then you feel good about Daniel Jones coming back, somebody else's quarterback gets hurt, you might be able to flip Justin Fields. So I like it for the Giants for a number of reasons. I have no idea if the Giants do.
Now, I'm not opposed to it, but his rationale seems odd to me. Firstly, I have zero doubt that Daniel Jones can be healthy by the start of the season. None.
Yeah, I don't believe he's going to be missing any time.
If I bring in Justin Fields, I'm bringing in Justin Fields to be my quarterback.
Well, that's
this
not
year.
What Dan said.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that I disagree. I'm not bringing him in to flip him before the trade deadline. That's not my intent whatsoever.
No, that wouldn't be your intent, but I guess that would be the, you know, when Daniel Jones is healthy, which I expect him to be healthy. I mean, just...
So what happens if he's healthy? What happens if you get to August 15th and Daniel Jones is 100% healthy? Now I've wasted a second-round pick on Justin Fields?
Right. Well, my question would be, I mean, it doesn't seem like now. I mean, he had the one video that was released that kind of... We don't know what he was celebrating, but it felt like a lot of indications were it was because he was getting traded to Atlanta, and now it sounds like Atlanta's hot on
Kirk Cousins,
and the market really doesn't exist like the Bears thought it would exist for Justin Fields. So to your point... If all of a sudden Daniel Jones doesn't miss any time and you trade whatever it takes to get Justin Fields and Daniel Jones starts the season, I guess it would be nice to have Justin Fields as your backup if and when Daniel Jones gets hurt.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense.
Well, and you're not paying him much.
Now, I look at it differently. Dan looks at it as like a security blanket and then you can, you know, reap something in return if you trade him. I look at it as... If you're Shane and Dable and you really like Justin Fields, you want to bring him in to be the next quarterback, think about this now. Because it sounds like there's not a huge market for him. You trade one of your second round picks for him.
Okay.
And now with the sixth pick, you draft Malik Nabers. All of a sudden, your offense looks a whole hell of a lot different.
It gives you more flexibility, but then you also have to remember, though, now you have to decide whether and you're probably going to pick up his fifth-year option. And then on top of that, if he plays well, you're going to have to pay him. So you're going to have Daniel Jones. You bring him in. Daniel Jones sits on the bench. You pay him $40 million.
Right.
And then turn around and pick up
Justin Fields. I mean, you'll eat 1 year of Daniel Jones.
Yep.
You will bring in, I imagine, via a second-round pick, Justin Fields. And you'll probably pick up his fifth-year option, which is, what, 26, 25?
Close to 26, yeah.
Okay. And then you'll have him for this year, next year. And then we'll see.
Oh, I don't think we'll see. The thought would be we're going to have to pay him.
Well, but if he doesn't meet your expectations, then you can move on from him.
All right. So, but are you willing to take that risk where all of a sudden now I can take a quarterback in this draft in 4 years?
again, I go back to what I said. It's not a cop-out. I trust these guys. If these guys look at him and say, you know what? We can do amazing things. The weird thing about Justin Fields is he's never played in a big game. He has never. I mean, and it seems the best version of Justin Fields.
In the NFL.
Correct.
Yep.
The best version of Justin Fields is the least impactful games that he has with Chicago. That being said, there's been times where I've watched him play when I've thought to myself, boy, this guy is something.
That game against the Patriots.
Really, really special and dynamic. He's more athletic than Daniel Jones. He's a better running quarterback than Daniel Jones. He has a cannon for an arm. He has not had major weapons outside of DJ Moore, and he had a pretty good season this season.
Yeah, he had a pretty good season. He just doesn't, I mean, he doesn't win a lot. And on top of that, I mean, it would probably scare me a little when you look around the NFL now and how many teams need quarterbacks that there's not a more robust market for him.
I agree with you.
Like, there are a lot of teams that need quarterbacks, and the fact that all of a sudden now, I mean, we're hearing that, you know, the market's kind of dried up a little bit on him, that would concern me a little bit.
Which, right, but again, if Dable said, man, wait till you see what I can get done with this guy, would I buy in? I'd buy every ounce of stock in that. Yes, I believe in Brian Dable.
I think it would be easier to swallow for Giants fans to draft the quarterback, have Daniel Jones play, and you're only burning 1 year of potentially five.
I think that's fine, too.
That would make more sense.
That's also fine. Let's get to some calls. Then I have the very negative audio to play for you. Let's go to Nick in Staten Island. Hi, Nick. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
What's going on, boys? How we doing?
What's up, buddy?
So this question's mainly for Dave. Anyone can answer, but for me, personally, if I'm the Giants, I'm going to receiver at six. I'm taking Neighbors or Duze, whoever. And in the second round, I'm going to go quarterback, either Bo Nix, Michael Penix, or whoever's going to fall back there.
I don't think Penix is going to be sitting there in the second round for you.
I mean, listen, you never know. After the combine, as it gets closer to the draft, people shoot up, people fall back. And then go out in free agency, and you get your right tackle in free agency, your veteran who's already established. You move Neil over to right guard, and your offense looks a lot better like that.
I think that they can make this offense look a lot better very quickly. I agree
with that. Well, again, when we talked about this yesterday, the beauty of this draft is, I mean, the positions that both New York teams need, this draft has a lot of talent.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you decide, hey, we want to take a quarterback in the first round, you're still going to get a good receiver. You got 2 second-round picks, too. I understand what you're saying, but, I mean, you bring in Neighbors, or you bring in Adunze, and you decide you want to move off of Daniel Jones just because it's not working or he's hurt again. Okay, now what are we doing? Now who's the quarterback?
Because
I don't think Penix is going into the second round.
He's not going into the second round.
The fact that he had such a favorable medical.
He had a favorable medical, and he has a cannon for an arm.
Dude.
You saw that in the semifinal game.
Right.
Right? I mean, the championship game, he was not good. That was also an all-world defense.
All-world defense, big moment. Missed a couple throws, but I mean,
against Texas, he was lights out.
The big thing for him was the medical.
Yes. Medical, very positive for
medical
him.
Measurements, all the stuff, and then you watch him throw a football, and it's like, poof.
But I don't think there's more than one way to skin a cat here. I don't think it's like, you have to do this. You could do Fields. You could do moving up and grabbing Drake May. You could move up back into the first round and take Michael Penix.
I think it depends on what you like, though. I mean, it's hard to say now because you don't know what they like. I just think it's pretty interesting that all of a sudden now, a guy like Joe Shane, who's been pretty quiet with what he likes, and had the whole, like, we heard stories, Renan was on, talking about how they didn't really like Kayvon Thibodeau.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden, boom.
Right, it was a great smokescreen. So I think your point is very fair. Like, that all of a sudden he's letting everybody at the combine know that they don't have. But that's a lot of work to make teams move up and take a quarterback that you don't have interest taking.
Well, why would you also take away your leverage for? I mean, if you pick up the phone and call New England, they're going to hold you over a barrel,
right?
If they think that you're that desperate to go get a quarterback,
I think you're right.
I mean, listen, the way they structured Daniel Jones's deal. They didn't give you much faith that they were bought and completely bought with Daniel Jones.
We're going to bring this guy in for 2 years.
And we'll see how it works. We'll add a couple weapons, see if he can take that next step. But if he doesn't, then...
Well, what point do they add the weapons?
Well, no, I think they thought with, you know, Paris Campbell was an awful signing.
Awful signing.
Waller, Hyatt, Wandell. Right. Wandell's going to be a good receiver, but you still got Saquon that they could, you know, now all of a sudden be a little bit more explosive. You saw it with Tyrod Taylor taking shots down the field.
Yes.
But you didn't see with Daniel Jones.
No. Daniel Jones last season was horrendous.
And he got hurt again.
Right. So he was horrendous when you saw him, and then he went out for the remainder of the season with a major injury.
Well, he got hurt twice, too. The neck first, and then he blew the ACL.
Right.
So
yeah, you got to get away from the injuries with him.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Two completely polarizing and differing viewpoints on J.J. McCarthy. And he's the guy, right? In this draft, he is the guy that either you're going to love him and buy into him and he was a winner at Michigan, and he's got a cannon for an arm, and he's a great athlete. Or the flip side of, he's going to be nothing. He was carried and buoyed by a great defense and a great running game and great coaching, and you think that he's going to be nothing. Where do you fall on this side of the conversation?
I would have to have a chance to meet him. And, I mean, all the reports I read.
He apparently had great interviews at the combine.
That's what I was reading.
Yeah.
Like, he could do things on a whiteboard that other quarterbacks couldn't do, which you know how important I think that stuff is. Measured really well. I think there was some thought that maybe he wouldn't be as big as he was. And I mean, I think he surprised some people. Did not throw great, but I mean, as some of that I can understand just because you're not used to the receivers and the timing. Has a good arm. But I mean, I think the problem with him and why you're going to have, and we'll hear them now, like the conflicting opinions, is you just haven't seen enough, you feel like, because of how he was used.
Because they didn't need to.
Right, they didn't need to. I mean, but you could also make the argument, like we were talking about this before the show, like, you know, if you're one of those big-time guys, you know, and you're in a situation, we were talking about that Penn State game the other day, and RJ was talking about, because RJ was all in with Michigan, and he's watching that game, and it's, you know, it's a one-possession game. Big-time quarterback, you trust him. It's, hey, I know we got Blake Corum, we got a good running game, but, you know, we also got a big-time quarterback.
Sure, but, and you're right, but is it his fault that they didn't throw the football?
Well, I think it's probably a little bit of both.
Well, how is it his fault because, that they decided, I mean, we're going to run the football every single time?
Well, if it's working, you would do it. But also, if you trust your guy.
Or is it Penn State's offense, there's no chance they're going to score more points on us. So we'll grind it out, and that's the way we'll
beat them. I think
it's
a mix of both. And I think it's up to you now, if you're Brian Daboll and Joe Shane or any of these, you know, teams considering taking J.J. McCarthy. I mean, that's what you have to figure out. Because you are kind of drafting on potential, and I think there's plenty of times that we've seen this in the NFL, especially where, you know, I'm the smartest guy in the room. You know, you don't see what I see.
Right.
In my offense, with my tutelage, he can become this.
Right. Like we see what we've seen, and we can't see how it's going to translate. The great coaches and GMs see how it's going to translate to the next level.
Well, some coaches like that. Like, I mean, you got a kid that's kind of like, you know, there's all this untapped potential, and we feel like we can get, you know, the best out of him. But that's a risk if you haven't seen it.
So you want the good or the bad?
Let's go good first.
All right, Mike Tenenbaum, our friend, who seems to have gone crazy lately, but that's fine, was asked, is J.J. McCarthy a top five pick?
Without question, in my mind, like, to me, like, the draft, like, at five with the Chargers, like, I think the Chargers definitely could trade out, and I think based on the way he worked out and, in fact, how well he played in his career, I think I'm hard-pressed to see J.J. McCarthy getting past five. I think if the Vikings lose Kirk Cousins to Atlanta, I could see either Atlanta at eight or Minnesota at 11 moving up for him.
So Tenenbaum loves him, and I'm sure he's not the only one.
No, I know for a fact he's not the only one. I mean, I think there's plenty of people. I mean, he has a lot of the intangible stuff that you would want, and, you know, smart coaches see things that they can work with.
Right.
Sometimes you don't like, you know, if you've seen everything. You know what I mean? Like, you want to have some room to grow
into the quarterback
and
you're going to be.
You know, the kind of kid that has that leadership stuff, right, can, you know, step into a locker room of grown men and be a CEO. Also, how young he is, right? Like, to see how the kind of
Was he 21?
Yeah, to see the poise he has and the fact that he's a winner, the fact that, you know, Jim Harbaugh, you know, has all these nice things to say about him. And, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, you put him with me in our offense and
where do you see what we can do?
Sky's the limit.
Now, our producer, RJ Santillo, RJ, you are very anti-JJ McCarthy, right? You do not expect him to be a big-time quarterback.
Big-time, no. He's an NFL quarterback. He's an NFL player.
All right, but you don't go as strongly as what we're going to hear in a moment. Chris Carlin.
Oh, no.
No. I mean, this. I haven't heard this yet. He is very anti-JJ McCarthy, right?
If you're saying I'm not a fan, he's sitting in the front row, like, throwing tomatoes. Like, he's
no,
very...
He would never waste tomatoes.
We wouldn't eat tomatoes.
Yes.
He's as anti...
I think he's eating them like apples.
No.
I think he's just gnawing down to the nub
healthy.
Of the tomato.
If they say he's throwing pizzas, then yeah, you're right.
Right.
I'll tell you one better.
Mm-hmm.
He's as anti any potential first-round quarterback as I remember ever.
Ever.
With this statement. This is strong.
All right, so here is Carlin, ESPN Radio. Of course, he does middays on the network. He thinks J.J. McCarthy, NFL backup.
J.J. McCarthy was not asked to do a damn thing in college. You could say all you want that he's somebody that teams get enamored with around watching him at the combine. When are you hearing all this? Around the combine. That's when people get suckered in. He's a backup quarterback at best. I would draft J.J. McCarthy if I was interested in losing.
Wow. A backup quarterback at best?
I would draft him if I was interested in losing.
I mean, what a backup quarterback at best?
I think
Carlin's missing something.
Well, listen, I mean, this is why it's a crapshoot. I mean, it really is. It's the definition of it. You got Mike Tannenbaum, who's a GM in this league,
right?
That's gone through this entire process.
Mike Tannenbaum, in defense of Carlin and everybody that's anti-McCarthy, Mike Tannenbaum said the Giants should have given up the 5-7 pick for Russell Wilson a couple of years ago.
He did.
So yeah,
and that didn't work out for them.
That was one of the worst takes anyone's ever had.
I got the whole breakdown of that. It's wild.
What, on how much money did he...
Just draft capital, money, all of it.
Oh, it's terrible.
Like, this is one of the worst deals ever.
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 I mean, the Seahawks couldn't get rid of him quickly enough. The Broncos bring him in, and he was an unmitigated disaster in Denver.
And he wasn't bad this season, but still just the amount of draft picks and money and everything else. And his extension hasn't even kicked in yet.
What is it, $85 million from Denver?
Well, they're paying, they're paying him $39 million.
But in dead money, $85 million, I think.
Yeah.
That's an exorbitant amount of money.
I got the whole
throwing away.
I got the whole breakdown.
All right, we'll get to your breakdown.
Well, no, this I think what makes it a crapshoot is because you have, Chris Carlin, who he's the voice of Rutgers, so he covers Big Ten football, and then you got Mike Tannenbaum, who was a GM in this league, and one thinks he's a guaranteed top five pick, and the other one would only draft him if your intention was to lose. So I think sometimes, to Chris's point, a lot of these guys overthink this thing. And I think a lot of them kind of, fancy themselves as just we're smarter than everyone else. We see something that you don't.
But they must see something.
Well, of course they see something. The guy, he just had an undefeated season where they won the national championship. And you got the head coach saying that, he's the greatest quarterback that Michigan's ever had. And he would, he would draft him with the top pick if he didn't have Justin
Herbert.
What
does that mean to you? The Jim Harbaugh, who just coached him in college, says if I didn't have a quarterback, I would go get that quarterback.
I think it means a lot. I don't think it means everything.
Right.
But I think, a lot of a quarterback's success, I think, has to do with how smart he is, how quickly he can process information, how he leads, his work ethic. All those things are important. And if he's got the other, other physical tools to go along with that, yeah, I can work with that. My only concern with would be, especially with where the Giants are at and how much they need, he's not jumping into like a San Francisco 49er situation or a Kansas City Chiefs situation where, that's a playoff team with talent. So do I think it's beneficial that he can sit back for a year if the Giants did do whatever it takes to get him and watch Daniel Jones and not have that pressure to jump right in with what might not be a really good supporting cast, especially if you lose Saquon? So he's got that year to kind of sit and learn.
Correct.
I think
and then
that
next year when he takes over the reins, you will, I imagine, add a big-time receiver next year's draft and kind of make the offense more flush with talent for him.
Right, and you get to work with Brian Daboll. So that's why I think the Giants is actually a really good landing spot for any of these young quarterbacks. It's just, are you going to be, if what Mike Tannenbaum says is true and you can't sit there and wait at six, are you willing to give up what it's going to take to get to three?
So could you have four quarterbacks in the top six taken?
That would be wild. Go through the draft order right now. How many teams need quarterbacks?
We've gone through it. Like 12 to 14 teams need quarterbacks.
There's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. So... yeah, I get it. I mean, it's just it'll be interesting to see what happens for me if a lot of this stuff was smokescreen.
This draft can't get here soon enough.
And you have the top three go 1, 2, 3, and then you have you know, Harrison Jr. going four, whatever the Chargers do, and then for whatever reason, you
got that Chargers pick is interesting.
Yeah, you got May and J.J. McCarthy sitting right there with the Giants.
I would love to know if there are people that say, you know what, beating New England, that was really good for the Giants now. Like, where is
you
Don?
You carry that momentum.
Where is Don?
I meant, by the way, if May doesn't go three, if for some reason he slips down to six and you have McCarthy and May sitting there at six.
Sitting there at six?
What you do?
Yeah, I don't know. Drake May, big boy.
He's huge. Yeah. But he's one of those ones that has, you got to work with him.
He was very cocky. I don't know, cocky, very confident. People liked what he had to say.
Well, I think you have to have an element of that.
Of course.
But listen, I mean, it's again, I mean, this is such a long process. It's such a difficult process. This is not, I mean, it's a huge jump you're asking these kids to make. To go from as a quarterback, to go from college to the pro level.
And there's it's not a seamless transition
to
quarterback
spot. No, there's so much that has to go right.
Let's go to Ryan in Babylon. Say good morning. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope you're doing well. You're basically touching on my point here. I really don't understand why there's any semblance of pressure on Brian Daboll. I mean, 90% of the teams in the NFL are clamoring for a coach that can work with their quarterback. And if you take a really honest assessment of the Giants, what are their five good players, and two of them might be leaving this year?
Well, I think it was how it started, how the season started. I think everyone expected, I mean, I don't know if I expected, but Dave expected to take a step back.
Now, I expected to take a step back. I didn't expect to lose 40-0 in the opener. I didn't expect to come out and look horrendous against Arizona. I didn't expect to get run out of the building at home and not be able to put points up against Seattle. So I think the record doesn't shock me. I think the way they got to that record was surprising for me.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, if anything, this year served the purpose of you got your answer, right? A quarterback, you got your answer. In my opinion, a head coach, I mean, this guy touched, I mean, basically Gardner Minshew baked in bolognese sauce and turned him into a five-win quarterback.
Are you talking about Tommy DeVito?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We got him a bunch of endorsements, too. No, I mean, that's why Brian Daboll was hired, because of the effect he has on quarterbacks. That's why they brought him in, because they felt like if anyone could save Daniel Jones, that it would be him, and he did. And I give him tons of credit for that, but I think the writing's kind of on the wall. If you're telling me that my livelihood is going to rest on the shoulders of the quarterback, and that quarterback is always hurt and doesn't really have the upside to make me live with the fact that he's not always available,
right,
I'm moving on. I have no choice.
Joe S. sends an email in. McCarthy is starting to remind me of Zach Wilson. Wilson was a nobody shut up quickly.
Wilson wasn't playing big time
right
football
before
like
the draft, and the same thing is happening with McCarthy. It's just not good. McCarthy played in the biggest moments of college football, and you can say what you want, and he might not be great, but he was down how many points? 8 points, 7 points to Alabama? Last drive of the game, had to go for it on fourth down in their own territory and led them on a game-tying touchdown drive to send that game to overtime.
No, but I understand. But I can also understand why there are some concerns. I mean, especially if you're talking about trading up to three and taking them. Like, I mean, there are games that you would point to. Like that, how many times do you think he threw the ball in the Penn State game?
Nine?
Eight. Eight times. So I think a lot of people would ask, well, I mean, even if you have a running game like Michigan has.
But did they win the game?
No, I understand they won the game. Even if you have a running game like that, and you don't think Penn State's going to score enough points to keep up with you, at a certain point, if you got a big-time quarterback, you're still going to let him throw the football. Eight times? I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Eight times?
I understand your point.
So, I mean, listen, you could also say on the other side of that, if you're pro J.J. McCarthy, give the kid credit. He doesn't have an ego. Just wants to win. Hey, coach, whatever it takes.
That's all he wants to do. Listen,
and there's a lot of people
gonna
that
be
would
that
be
guy.
Attracted to that.
But of the four, right, of the Drake May, of the Jaden Daniels, of the Caleb Williams, of the J.J. McCarthy. You can even throw Penix in there. How many are going to be good? Two?
If you're lucky.
Maybe one will be great, one will be good, one will be okay, and two will do amount to nothing in the NFL. Like, it's a real crapshoot with the odds stocked towards the house. Not stocked towards the quarterback, stocked towards not succeeding in the NFL.
Well, I also think it depends on who drafts the quarterbacks.
Sure, but I think it's a positive for the Giants.
Right, I think it's a positive for the Giants. I think it's a positive for the Vikings. Like, there are certain teams that you would point to and say, hey, you know, if I'm, you know, you name the quarterback, this is the team I would want to go to. Like, if I'm Michael Penix, yeah, would I love to be drafted by the Vikings? You're going to give me Kevin O'Connell, and you're going to give me Justin Jefferson?
Right.
Jordan Addison, just sign me up. TJ Hockenson, let's go. That's where I want to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, though, like the kids that go to the best spots will have the best chance to succeed, and then maybe you'll get the one kid that could be Caleb Williams that goes to kind of a dysfunctional situation that doesn't make much sense and is just good enough where it won't matter.
Right? Maybe he's so ultimately talented. The problem
but even then, you could slow down his progress.
Absolutely, you can. Like, and the problem is that organization never develops a quarterback.
No, it didn't do Trevor Lawrence any favors that they had Urban Meyer there in his first year to screw him up.
Oh, they almost ruined him.
So that Chicago Bears situation still makes no sense.
It makes no sense that there were so many good coaches available and they said, you know, we're going to stick with what we've got. That'll never make sense to me. And maybe I'm wrong.
And how attractive the job is.
I mean, you have the first pick, you have the ninth pick.
Yeah.
You have Justin Fields that you can trade for something of value.
You got money.
You have Bill Belichick. You have Mike Vrabel.
Well, forget that. Like Ben Johnson. I mean, there's plenty of guys. Like, hey, what do you want? You fill out the check.
It's very, very, very odd. You remember, RJ, are you even paying attention to the show today?
You know how rude that is?
Well, it's not meant to be rude. It's
what do you mean? He's
sincere.
The producer of the show.
What do you mean it's not meant to be rude? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I'm attacking him right.
Are you, like, really involved in the show?
Yes. I'm starting to prepare the rejoin, but yes.
Oh.
What would I do?
You didn't do anything. I feel like you're very quiet and you're very like behind the scenes doing your thing, and maybe you're not
paying attention.
Any sort of attention. If I'm wrong, then I apologize for that.
Well, did you call on me? Did I miss something?
No.
I'm not always going to jump in. I mean,
I don't know. I like when you jump in.
It's your show.
No, it's our show.
See, that's where you're mistaken. It's our show.
When we get
Are you getting
email.
A pickleball jersey? Yes.
It seems that way.
Yes.
When we get an email, does it ever say Rick and Dave and the other two sloppies? No. It says the four of you guys.
I don't mean it that way. I just mean like when you guys are going back and forth, I'm not going to grab the wheel and jump right in, you know?
So you remember yesterday when we got that beautiful email from the gentleman in Australia?
Right.
Followed up.
In Melbourne.
I got a follow-up. Want to hear the follow-up?
From him?
Yeah, from him.
Okay.
He says, hello from Melbourne, Australia. Thank you for reading the email on the show. I was genuinely humbled. I thought that at its length, you may have just read it to the team privately, so thank you so much. Once again, you all made me laugh out loud in public twice yesterday. Once while I was shopping for groceries with Stench Bennett, and then again with Dave walking the dog in fishing waders. The banter you all have is just so natural. It's so great to listen to. You wanted me to rate the four of you who I like the most? All right. I want to be a fence sitter, but that wouldn't fit the way you guys do it. You need to know the margins are so thin that a piece of paper once used in the chain gang during a Cowboys win was in fact needed.
Still don't understand that.
Dave, you're number one.
Of course. That's why you're reading it.
No, you know what? I read negative things about me all the time. Let me repeat that for those that didn't hear. Dave, you're number one, just ahead of Rick, but only because you're so passionate. Rick doesn't share the same passion for his teams and life that you do. Rick, number two. All right? The boys just behind RJ and Ray, 3 and 4. That's only because I'd love to hear more of you guys when Dave and Rick are away. You're both animals, though, with the amount of work you both do. So thank you for the 3 stars. Unnecessary, but I appreciate you so much. I will keep you lads posted as the journey goes on with me and my new family. So, Ray, question for you. How was your weekend? That's what he wants to know.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, how was your weekend?
No reason to waste it now.
Seems like a waste.
Did you make love this weekend?
Much love from Melbourne. You all adapted to the name change beautifully. Peace.
Nice.
So I'm his guy.
Yeah, well, that's why you read the email.
That's not true.
That's of course why
I thought it was a beautifully worded
email. RJ, is that why you read the email?
No.
From Melbourne? That's why.
We know why we're
if
here.
If it was a I love Rick by a vast,
I would have read that.
Vast margin.
I think you would have read it.
No chance.
Absolutely.
If he said that Rick's fandom outweighed Dave's, no way that could
no
be.
Way.
Well, that would be nonsense.
Okay, he's an egomaniac, this guy.
Who is?
You.
Egomaniac?
Egomaniac.
No.
Egomaniac.
That's not fair, and that's
your
not
head
right.
Barely fits in the door.
And that's not nice.
You strut in.
I don't strut.
Well, here's the superstar. Doot, doot, doot.
You don't believe that to be true.
Oh, yeah.
This is very mean.
Throw your jacket right on the beautiful, comfortable stadium seats.
Comfortable.
It could
be the most uncomfortable seats
ever,
that are on this
and
entire planet.
So you don't
planet.
Sit down. That's why.
That's right.
They want to make sure you don't sit down.
Right. We have very uncomfortable seating.
No
for you.
Rest.
You have a meeting today?
No, I don't have a meeting.
No?
No, I got the little video thing.
Oh, that's nice.
That should take 30 minutes.
RJ, how long do you think him
You're not
shooting?
Staying for that.
Why?
Because last time I tried to do it, you said videotaping.
No, I'm staying
no.
for that. Oh, please.
No.
RJ, we got to stay. We got to heckle him. Have you ever seen anybody make videos or do recordings worse than him?
Hey, answer it. You can be honest. No.
I've never seen someone that has the job done and insists on doing it again because it's not perfect enough. Like that grip test thing he talked about with the Islanders, that is him doing reads. Like the job is done, but he wants it to be perfect.
And it's done satisfactory.
It makes you wonder how many things in life he goes through where it's more than sufficient. It's very well done. No, it's not perfect.
Couldn't you see him? Like, there's a spot on the street. He parallel parks. He's in the spot. He's like, no, let's go out and let's redo this. It's not exactly the way I want it to be done.
Maybe, but that's what made him the top pick. Like, Dave at the Combine, I could see him being asked by GM, like, hey, that was pretty good. Don't you want to aim for perfection? He's like, what do you want from me?
Dave is not redoing the three-cone drill.
No.
He's not doing it.
How did I do? You did pretty well. I'm good.
Good.
Thank you for that.
You want to draft me? Draft me.
Yeah. You don't want to? You know what? Someone else will take me, and then I'll
make you pay.
Yeah, exactly. I'll go right after you.
My hand slipped. That doesn't matter.
Okay. Here we go. Eddie Adams. I'll rank you guys. 1, Rick. 2, Ray. 3, RJ. Distant 4th, Dave. The lazy bum shows up 5:58 a.m. and mails it in every day. You suck. All right. So I'll read whatever I get.
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
You don't show up early. But never once have I ever thought that you mailed it in.
And otherwise, I'm never ill-prepared.
But I wouldn't do the show with you. I wouldn't.
I know
it's
that.
Just your process.
Well, I don't... I mean, the truth is, if I get in at 5:15,
listen,
what are we going over?
Dude, I'm telling you
right now.
I get
to watch you sleep?
But this is, again, why I say the show, I want it like a locker room, is because that's what I miss the most of the locker room. There are guys that will show up, myself included, 3.5 hours before a game, because that's what we do. There are other guys that will show up like a minute before you have to show up or you get fined.
Right.
Walk around... chew tobacco, do crossword puzzles. The clock legitimately goes like, hey, we go on to whatever time. There's 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes before we have to be on the ice for warm-up. Guy's still not dressed, jumps in the locker room, dressed in 2 minutes, and he's the best player on the ice.
And so that's all you can ask for.
Whatever you got to do to get yourself ready, you do as long as you're ready.
All right, we'll break. We'll come back. 1-800-919-3776. Jason Kelce with an emotional goodbye to the Eagles and the NFL. We'll get to the Jets as well. Little NBA, 1-800-919-3776. The 7 o'clock hour next right here on 98.7 ESPN. Secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats, your home for every slam dunk, slap shot, and stolen base. Now, Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every single purchase. From buzzer beaters to walk-off homers, Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter the most to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.